Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Control 603-283-6160. That's the phone number for you to call in. Bring up whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. And it's Free Talk Live. In the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Nikki,
and Joa.
And we have a lot to talk about tonight. We have a couple cop-related things if you're from Joa's channel, Breaking the Flaw, if you're here from that. You'll be interested in that. One of the things is a sex crime victim being denied her $69,000 settlement because, well, the cops seized her settlement money.
Wow. Yeah, how convenient.
We also have Joa did some activism here in Keene yesterday, and he wants to talk about that. I'm pretty excited to hear about that. And we have a cop that got arrested for inappropriately arresting his ex-girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
And I have a video. I might try to play him on the air for that.
That was a tackling one. Is that...
Yeah, he... I'm not sure if he tackled her, because I didn't see the... Like, the video doesn't cover the very beginning. It just shows him on top of her, and she's like, you're crazy. What's
yes,
wrong
I know
with
exactly
you?
What you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. That's an insane story.
Yeah. Maybe he did tackle her, but all I know is it's absolutely crazy. He put her in... she had to go to a mental hospital for, like, 2 days... and it was all inappropriate, like, she didn't actually need to be there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I'm sure nothing happened to him.
No, he actually got arrested.
Oh, yep. Good.
And fired.
Wow, okay.
We'll get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into it, but first, I wanted to talk about this from Reason.com. Sex crime victim denied $69,000 settlement because cops seized her abuser's cash through civil asset forfeiture. The outrageous case has led to calls from Congress to pass legislation curbing civil asset forfeiture, which is kind of a good, silver lining.
Yeah. There's been a lot of politicians trying to get rid of this, but mm-hmm. I feel like just this interstate commerce laws, allowing them to do this, the Fed's allowing them to just take whatever they want. So these people are carrying around the life savings sometimes and moving across the country, they don't trust banks.
Yeah, well, then that's happened before. You know, there's been like $50,000 or something seized because somebody was moving across the country and they got pulled over essentially for having out-of-state plates. You know how cops love to do that.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And there's really no reason. I mean, it's absolutely insane that they can just steal your money even if there's no other crime.
And what's even crazier is that when they seize that money, they actually are allowed to spend it for their departments. And they just use it to create more traps.
And that totally gives them incentive
to
steal your money.
Exactly. It's kind of like my pet topic on Free Talk Live. It's something I bring up a lot in my show prep. And I even have this article that I've saved for a while because it's kind of long from Epic News, or I think that's what it is, Epic Times, that my dad sent me. And it's basically has a whole bunch of different stories.
Epoch Times?
Yeah. Epoch. It's like they're kind of biblical.
Yeah.
Like a biblical name. But they're right on this. They're right on get rid of civil asset forfeiture. But getting into this Reason article, it says, a North Carolina teenager was hoping to get her life back on track after a state judge ordered a man who sexually abused her to pay her $69,000. Instead, she got a nasty surprise. The local police department had already seized the cash through civil asset forfeiture, and it was already gone. Despite a judge's order, she will get nothing.
Wow.
The case is a stunning example of the misplaced priorities and perverse incentives, like we mentioned, that asset forfeiture creates for police, and how the federal government allows state and local police to evade reforms to stop forfeiture abuse.
You know, just if they think or suspect or whatever that it's being used for something nefarious, or, you know, usually they accuse people using or having that much money because of drugs.
Yeah.
And this is why we need to get rid of the drug war, so they don't have this excuse for things like this anymore. Even when they're not even, you know, selling drugs, regardless of the stupidity of the law of drugs, they're still doing it. They're still taking this, even though they're not doing it.
It's like, it's not illegal to have cash, but it's effectively illegal if you get pulled over by a cop because, well, they can read our minds, but we can't read theirs. We can't take them to court and say, well, I don't believe that you really thought that. But they'll take people to court all the time and say, I believe this is what you were thinking when you did this act, and therefore it's a crime.
It's sort of like Ian, where the prosecutors even said he followed the law.
He didn't do anything illegal.
He was very well versed in the law, and he followed the law. That makes him a criminal.
Yep. The judge even said, I don't think of you as someone who is wantonly breaking the law. I'm paraphrasing because they don't let you bring cameras into court, so I don't exactly remember at this point. But
sure, I understand.
He said, I don't think of you. And by the way, we're talking about Ian Freeman, my husband from the Crypto Six. You can go to thecryptosix.com. He just got 8 years in prison for selling cryptocurrency. And basically the judge said, I don't think of you as someone who just wantonly breaks the rules. I think of you as someone who knows the rules very, very well to try to get around and break them that way. Like, break the spirit of the rules. And he said that right after the conviction. Anyways, so basically you're right. It's another example of, well, it's not illegal to have cash, but if you have cash, it is something that can make a cop think maybe he's a drug dealer, and they just take the cash right then. Doesn't matter if you get found guilty or found innocent. Well, most times you don't get found innocent, but found not guilty.
Yeah.
A lot of times you can't get it back after that.
You have to be found innocent, right?
Right.
And that's rare. Mm-hmm. Very, very rare.
Yep. But going back to this story about this girl who's not getting her $69,000 settlement, it says, the case is a stunning example. Oh, I already read that. It says, as originally reported by local news outlet WCNC Charlotte, the Mint Hill Police Department investigated Mario Alberto Gomez Saldana II for sexual abuse in 2019. Saldana pleaded guilty to multiple sex crimes years later in 2023 and is currently serving a prison sentence. The now 17-year-old teenage victim's family filed a civil suit against Gomez Saldana shortly after and secured a consent order for $69,130 to be turned over to her. WCNC reports, records show when the MH Police Department, can't remember what that stood for, let me look.
NH, you said? It's not New Hampshire.
MH, it was Mint Hill. Oh. So, Mint Hill Police Department. Records show when MHPD investigated the sex abuse case in July 2019, they found suspected marijuana, drug paraphernalia, and cash inside the suspect's home. I mean, it's like a whole entire home. It's one thing, it's if it's like all in the car, it's like all being transported together. But
did they take a lemon pound cake, too?
Like, I had that lemon pound cake. If listeners don't know what we're talking about, who's that guy? Oh, Afro Man.
Afro Man.
Afro Man had cameras inside his house.
Oh, yeah, when he got raided.
Right. And
that was just ridiculous.
It's so funny. He made multiple songs about it.
Yeah.
For the listeners that don't know. And he showed one of, I don't know what these people were, just like the local police department, right? Not feds?
Correct, yeah.
They were walking through his home, you know, looking for drugs or whatever, and there's this one really fat cop that walks past a lemon pound cake that Afro Man had sitting on his counter, and he made a...
It looked good, though. I mean, come on.
He made a whole song about that cop, like, staring down the lemon pound cake when he's supposed to be, you know, working or whatever.
It's like his number one song recently, too.
So funny.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm pretty sure good. Ian played it on the show back when that came out. So, yeah, they found suspected marijuana, drug paraphernalia, and cash inside the suspect's home. The victim's family and their attorney said at the time an officer assured them the money would be available to one day pursue in a civil suit, and in the years after, continued telling them the money remained held in property. Unbeknownst to them, investigators seized the cash and partnered with a federal agency to apply for asset forfeiture, citing probable cause of illicit drug activity. MHPD investigators never charged the suspect with any drug crimes, only sex offenses, but that didn't prevent the department from eventually collecting more than $45,000 of the seized money in 2020 through what's called the Equitable Sharing Program, according to records. The federal government...
What? Equitable sharing programs?
Yeah, that's what they do with the Fed. So the police department themselves got $45,000 and the rest of the 69 or whatever it was that they took. I guess it doesn't say the amount that they took from the house. But the rest of it, the federal government got. Yep, that's what it says here. The federal government received the rest of the money.
It's a funny name, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, they always try to make their programs sound like something sweet and innocuous.
And they're always just the opposite of what they are, right?
Yep.
Patriot Act. Okay.
Well, in this case, they're sharing, the feds and the cops are sharing innocent people's money, so most of the time innocent. This guy wasn't innocent, but they took his money so it couldn't be given to as a restitution to the correct person.
Correct.
Well, I've been dealing with this since I was 5 years old, and I'm almost 18, and I just want to move on to the next chapter of my life. Oh, wow. I didn't know.
That's so sad. So she was like a child.
Yeah, I didn't know that part.
Wow.
I thought that she was a teenager when it happened. I mean, still very sad, but she's a teenager now. The teenager, who is unnamed in the story, told WCNC Charlotte, "That money was going to help me do it. Move on. And without it, it just feels like three steps back. It's honestly so frustrating and difficult." Under civil asset forfeiture laws, police can seize property suspected of being connected to illegal activity, even if the owner isn't charged with a crime. MHPD could use the drugs in Saldana's house as a premise to take his money, even though, as WCNC reports, a simple Google search shows Saldana won the lottery in 2018, collecting $70,000 in winnings after taxes. Wow, that's kind of a big turn. So he won the lottery, and he had $70,000 from that, and you can find that information on Google. But since he also was a weed smoker, probably.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. They wanted the money.
Right.
So it's like he only spent like $1,000, right? So, and really, like, you know, the math and all this, and what she's supposed to get, $69,000. It's just like they know it's not from illicit activity now.
Yeah.
They know that he earned this money from the state.
With any amount of investigating, like cops are supposed to do, they could figure that out. And in fact, it's not like they said there was tons and tons of weed or tons and tons of paraphernalia and scales or anything like that. It was probably just his personal weed. Like, everybody smokes weed. So
even if he did, even if he was a drug dealer, I mean, the money's going to somebody else. So does it really matter at that point?
Right. That's such a good point.
Right, of course.
Getting taken from him either way. Law enforcement groups say civil asset forfeiture is a vital tool for disrupting organized crime like drug trafficking by targeting its illicit proceeds. However, civil liberties advocates say it lacks due process protections for property owners and creates perverse profit incentives for police. And that's exactly the truth. Due process is basically, it means that you are innocent until proven guilty, for one thing.
Yeah, allegedly.
And cops don't have the job, aren't tasked with punishing someone. You're not supposed to be punished except by a judge's decision after you're convicted of a jury, or if it's not a jury decision, you know, the judge himself. But
right.
Police are tasked with grabbing people who are in the middle of doing something wrong or grabbing someone who needs to be taken to court. Even if you are somebody who's a lover of cops and the court system, the way it's supposed to be done isn't the way it's getting done. Cops go and shoot people. Cops go and take people's money. And they're doing the punishment before anybody's been seen a courtroom at all. You know?
It blows my mind, and it still does to this day, how much they get away with.
Right.
It was qualified immunity. And not even that. They don't even need the qualified immunity when they can just, cover it up themselves. So
right.
It's a big joke.
It says forfeiture abuses have led more than half of U.S. states to pass reforms over the last decade, tightening protections for property owners and creating stricter rules for seizing, tracking, and spending forfeiture revenues. Probably not by much. I mean, I never hear about these cases where they end up making changes to their laws. It's probably just like silly little ones. Like Ian and I think Nikki might have been on the show. We covered a story where it was Detroit, and Institute for Justice won some case where it's like they're pushing back a little bit against civil asset forfeiture, which is great and all, but it was such a small step. It was like,
yeah,
now they'll make sure that they get their trial within 6 months. Like, that's good and everything, but it's such small little wins. So I bet it's not probably that big of a deal. It says, like, they're tightening protections for property owners and creating stricter rules for seizing, tracking, and spending forfeiture revenues. But we hear about this crap all the time.
And that's the thing. Yeah, you're right. That could really mean anything.
Like, you got to be a psycho to even be in these top positions in the AG's office and all that stuff. Like, it's very rare to get, like, a libertarian into those positions anyways. And it just seems like at this good old boys club, and they're all just elbow to elbow, like, behind closed doors, just hanging out all the time. And like, hey, we can do this, like, civil assets forfeiture. Yeah, let's go for it. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know this cop over here? He could use a little bonus.
Yep.
And it's just like I really think they're conspiring behind scenes, and they play ignorant about it later on, play dumb. It's insane.
They play ignorant about it, and they also know exactly how to play to the masses and get them to believe that it's all for something good. I've seen cops multiple times in, not civil asset forfeiture related, but in bill hearings for specifically like drug reforms, and they're sitting there and they're just, listen, guys, to the state reps who are overhearing the meeting. We need this because we're taking down bad guys, and they like put on this sweet face
for officer safety.
Officer safety, yeah. Oh God,
I need all. It's all about officer safety. Actually, that's how they're trained. That is exactly how they're trained.
Officer safety is more important.
It's priority.
Yep.
And that's another thing that the Back the Blue people love to say, like, oh well, they have such a hard, dangerous job. It's literally more dangerous to deliver pizzas.
Yep.
I think Joe has the most dangerous job because he has to talk to the police.
Yeah, right.
And they can snap any minute.
I'm only out there because there's bad cops, right?
Yeah, there's a few bad cops out there, and you gotta watch out for them. And then maybe you can, help the rest of them clean their name up.
Yeah.
Moving on, it says, North Carolina, in fact, passed some of the strongest forfeiture reforms in the country. But see, if they did that, and this is still happening, if this story we're talking about, they probably haven't passed that good of forfeiture reform.
Yeah, clearly they have not done enough.
It is one of four states that only allows forfeiture in after a criminal conviction based on proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Sounds a little weird considering the story we're talking about.
Wait a second. Did you say it again? So you need an irrefutable proof to get the thing that was yours? Is that what you're saying?
It says it is one of four states that allows forfeiture from, like, the cops are allowed only after a criminal conviction based on proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
But they still take your stuff and then just hold it.
Yeah. And you need that money for rent, and that's one of the stories that we covered in Detroit.
Yeah. And then what if it disappears?
Right.
Like, what do they do then now? Oh, well. Sorry.
Disappears from property.
Or they lie. We know they're compulsive liars, so it's like maybe they took know, 100 grand from you, and then they're like, oh, no, we only had 40.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, where'd the other 60 go? And then it's your word versus theirs, and they're the government officials, right? Yep. Yeah, they're the, you know, the law enforcement.
The buddies with the judge.
So, yeah, exactly. Like, who is the judge going to believe? You or the cops? And that's how we run into a lot of these issues.
I mean,
like, even New Hampshire, you don't even have to commit a crime. They'll seize your assets, like your gun, whatever.
Yeah, they can just take it.
And then they'll hold it, and then they'll charge you for holding it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
insane.
Storage fees.
Well, and, like, we hear about cops doing that all the time, too, where, like, maybe you have a firearm or, like, something that they like, and they're like, oh, well, I'm, you know, you can legally pretty much have almost whatever you want in New Hampshire as far as firearms go. But they can just take it just because.
Yep. Now you
and then it's like, oh, you know what? That's a nice Glock you got there, you know?
Yep. Now you got to go to the Department of Safety, make sure that, you know, it's safe for you to get a firearm again. And then you got to pay the storage fee and some sort of processing fee. Then you get your firearm back, but it probably costs you more than what the firearm's worth.
Well, and even with the whole raid, there was at least one gun I know of that went missing.
Oh, wow.
That was just like, I don't think it was ever accounted for.
Yeah, even though this story, they said that the parents of this girl were told multiple times by the cops, like, don't worry, we're holding this and we're going to give it to you. And unbeknownst to them, it said they spent it and gave most of it to the...
Yeah, you know what we did? We spent it. Sorry.
Yeah. After months of reassuring this girl's parents.
And that's the thing, too, like, especially with, like, a lot of these, like, rape trials, especially, like, so this girl's 18 now. It happened when she was, what, 5 years old. So it's already traumatizing enough. Like, I've heard from people I know personally who were, you know, sexually abused as a child, and then, you know, their parents found out, and then there was a whole trial, right? So then they have to confront their abuser. Hmm. This whole entire process is extremely triggering. It's horrible to put little girls through this, or little boys, whatever, anybody who has been abused like that. It is awful to have to continuously relive it. Never mind having to relive it for 13 years while this is being dragged on. And then finally it's like, okay, I can just, like, get this money, you know, and then maybe, like, I don't... And it's not even about the money for her, right? It's, like, just, like, a closing this chapter and for her to be able to move on with her life and not have to think about, you know, the case or the guy or what happened to her ever again.
Well, it's just like a kicking her when she's down.
Well,
exactly.
Well, here's the thing. The state, okay, they're not about healing people.
Hmm.
They're about creating victimhood so that you're stuck in this trance for the rest of your life that, you know, like, someone just, someone owes you something, right, at all times in this victimhood, instead of managing your problem and carrying on with your life. So it's just a trap and another trap.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing with, you know, with jail. You know, you'll go to jail for something really dumb, right? You go to jail for, like, selling weed. Then you go there, and then, you know, you learn all of these other things, and then people are released, and they become, like, actual criminals.
Oh, yeah. You want to become a criminal? Go to jail.
Yeah, go to criminal school.
Are you a cop? Do you want to defend your job? 603-283-6160. More coming up. Stay tuned. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declared that every member of Hamas will be destroyed. During a televised address, Netanyahu emphasized that unity among the people of Israel will ultimately lead them to victory in this conflict. The Biden administration is taking a strong stance against junk fees.
Charges that are taking real money out of the pockets of American families. These junk fees can add up hundreds of dollars, weighing down family budgets, making it harder to pay family bills.
A new proposed rule from the FTC would target ticketing agencies, hotels, apartment rentals, car rental services, and more. The United Auto Workers strike now in its 27th day, with UAW members currently picketing at 43 different facilities nationwide. Union President Sean Fain had been progressively including more plants in the strike as negotiations with the big three automakers continue. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number to call, and during the last segment, we were having some issues with the phone, but they should be fixed now, so if you're trying to call in last segment, just give us a call back, please. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Nikki,
and Joa.
And we've been talking about cops tonight, cops and civil asset forfeiture. We have a little more from this story from Reason.org from this week. A girl who was sexually assaulted when she was 5, she was going to get about $69,000 from her sexual assaulter, the person who victimized her, rapist.
Nope, I'll take that.
That's what the cop said, yep. So the cop seized it because, oh, well, he also had marijuana in the same house, so, yeah, we're going to take that and give some of it to the feds. That's what they did. So that's the story we're talking about right now. It's called civil asset forfeiture, and it's what the cops do when they believe that they can, tell the future and believe that you were probably, this was the proceeds of a crime, even before a jury convicts you of it. And they take that money, they share some with the feds, and they really abuse it because they have a perverse incentive to do so.
But you know what doesn't make sense about it? Like, even if, so say a person is, selling drugs, but they also have, a real W-2 job where they're paying taxes and all that. technically, I mean, they don't know that even if, like, the person is convicted of this crime,
right.
they don't know where that money came from, technically.
Right.
So the whole thing doesn't even really make sense. And it just doesn't make sense at all to, like, so if it's, I understand, and obviously it's wrong, but, like, taking drugs, you know, it's like, oh, well, you have a bunch of crack, so we're gonna confiscate that. But to take, like, anything else that isn't illegal just because you are maybe doing something illegal, it just really doesn't make sense.
It's crazy.
You know? Like, I don't care if you're a drug dealer and you have a legal firearm. Like, who cares?
They're operating off of a what-if, basically. But moving on, this article from Reason.com says, but under the Justice Department's equitable sharing program, federal authorities may adopt state and local civil asset forfeiture cases and pursue them at the federal level. So this is saying even though North Carolina passed some of the strongest forfeiture reforms, and we were confused, how did this happen in North Carolina if North Carolina is one of the four states that passed the strongest forfeiture reforms? Well, apparently the feds can adopt cases that are going on and pursue them at the federal level in your state. It says local police departments who partner with the feds get to keep up to 80% of the forfeiture revenue. I guess that's what the equitable sharing program is. They get to keep up to 80% of the forfeiture revenue, while the rest goes into the equitable sharing pool and is distributed among partner departments around the country. So, still goes to more cops, you know. It's just like, if the point of having cops and having laws and taking money from criminals is to restore the victim, make the victim whole in some way, like, obviously, you can never unrip this girl, but, you know, in him sitting in jail, at least he's not able to harm anyone else because he actually did do a crime with a victim. But
well, see, like, again, the government is trying to create victimhood. Instead mm-hmm. of healing her pains, nope, she's got to stay a victim for the rest of her life now. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing. I think that's what it is.
It's a really good, like, kind of like a hypothesis that's like their main objective, because obviously it's what they do.
Yeah, of course, and that's why they like love people on welfare, yep. and you know they love their handouts because people will expect that, and they're like, oh well, you know, I deserve that. I deserve that from the state, or they're like, yeah, well, I'm low income, so like I deserve to have all of these benefits. And then even people who don't receive the benefits, they're like, no, we need all this because, like, what, do you hate poor people? No, it's not that I hate poor people. It's that the government isn't doing this, you know, benevolently. Like, they are doing this because, like, there's very, you know, specific intent here. Like, yeah. They want those people to be kept down.
They're incentivizing people to stay poor. I just heard, like, I just talked to someone yesterday. I'm not going to say who, whatever, whatnot. But I met this guy. And he was like, oh, you know, I'm about to take on more hours at work. But if I do that, I don't collect my benefits. So, yeah. But then he's like, no, I'm probably going to do it anyways. Like, I was like, yes, you do it. You work longer. Just take it. You're going to make more money.
Well, like, and that's the thing, too. Like, if I, you know, I had a friend who is literally, like, actually very disabled, but, you know, she's still able to work, and she can only work a certain amount of hours, and she can only have a certain amount of money in her bank account, or else the state would take that money from her. They would, like, oh, well, you owe us money now, and they would just, like, take money right out of her bank account. Mm-hmm. And that happened to her because she was getting scheduled more at work, and it got to the point where she was like, you know what, I'm actually not going to accept any of these benefits anymore because they're not benefiting me. They're mm-hmm. actually just, like, she finally realized, like, this is keeping me poor. If I can't have more than X amount of dollars in my bank account and I can't actually work and you guys are only giving me X amount of money a month, like, I could, like, she's realized, like, I could make more money if I got a better job and worked more.
Instead of, like, a trap house, it's a trap system.
Yeah. You know?
And in general, that does help the cops themselves, for people to just, in general, have this idea that the government is necessary, because the government's what gives them their job. And I don't understand the idea behind that to, like, the only job I could possibly get is being a cop. Like, you don't think you could be actually productive in a free society?
They think that is productive.
And that's just so stupid.
Like, there are a lot of people who are super, super bought into the narrative. I mean, like, even it's just statism. You know what I mean? Like, they believe that we need cops because a lot of people aren't abused by the police. A lot of people, they only interact with police and, you know, they're townie cop. And they're like, oh, hey, yeah. Joe, what's up? Or, you know, they call the police and they actually come and they help them. Like, a lot of people do have good interactions with police.
Yeah.
But it's like everybody else, and they don't even realize. I think there's also like this cognitive dissonance there where like, why would you need to be pulled over for speeding or, you know, like the speed trapping thing? Like,
you should have been speeding then.
Well, some people can like rationalize that. Like, oh, well, you should have been following the law. Like, you should have been more obedient. Like, they're just so.
Like Ian following the law.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like ground into these people because they're brainwashed by their parents. They're brainwashed by the public school system. Yep. And then the majority of the people around them are also brainwashed. So it takes a lot, like, you know, Bonnie shares on the show a lot about, like, her awakening, like, you finally, like, realizing, like, how bad the police were, like, by, you know, just discovering some things on the internet, like, watching, like, you know, police brutality videos, and then the floodgates open, and then a lot of these illusions are stripped from you. A lot of people, you know, they haven't gotten to that point yet, where they, like, they don't realize how bad it really is, because a lot of people are just very sheltered.
Back the blue until it happens to you.
Yeah,
that's kind of how most people are. Yeah. But for me, it wasn't even like I was just some kind of like super cop loving person ever, because like my dad was in the military my whole life, and we just kind of had this, when you're like, you deal with the government straight, like that often, my whole family had this like weird, like, the government's necessary, but very, very bad.
Yeah, like they know.
Yeah, what is happening. Know. You know how.
It's subconscious in everyone's mind, regardless. Like, and then they just tune it out. Like, it's
right. Well, know, it's necessary. That's how I felt. I felt. I didn't think much about the cops for one thing because I didn't have to deal with them, and like I had never gotten in trouble with the law until I was 20. And you also just think that it must be necessary because people aren't raised to use their imagination to come up with solutions to things. You go to public school and it's just memorize, memorize, memorize. It's not critical thinking. Let's think of a new way to do this better. Or, and if you try to do like a math problem in a more effective way than the way the teacher tells you, well, F, because you're supposed to follow the
directions. Yeah, like, don't do that.
Yeah, you have to show your work. It's like, well, if I'm smart enough to do it in my head, now you're just accusing me of cheating, you know? And that just carries over into adulthood.
And just because, like, you can't do it in your head and you can do it quicker on a calculator, you should be able to use a calculator when you're in the professional world.
Yep.
If you need to use it, it's just silly. But, hey, I wanted to mention yesterday on John's thoughts, so it's related to this topic of civil asset forfeiture, is that John's also put a video out, and it was at least two victims that he talked to or, like, interviewed. And,
this is a new video he put out?
Yeah, just yesterday.
Oh.
And there was this one guy that owned a print shop, and, like, there's some fugitive, some robbery or whatever. He took shelter in his shop. Long story short, the guy was there. He escaped. But they thought he was in there, so they threw in, like, over a dozen tear gas into his print shop.
Gosh. Like a t-shirt printing company?
No, large format printing and just photocopying and stuff like that.
Oh.
But all of his stuff was ruined.
Wow.
And his entire shop, he had to shut it down. He had to refabricate the whole big
inside.
Awesome. He hasn't opened it back up yet, but he's just doing it out of his house and his garage now. But it was something like right around, like, that's, I think it was actually $69,000. It's funny because you said that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he said, too. But he didn't, like, put a total sum. He just itemized everything with the price next to it when he gave it to the police department. They're like, oh, you didn't give us a sum. Oh, okay. So he gave him a sum, and then he didn't hear back for months later, and then they said, oh, that's not something that we deal with.
Whoa. So they're just not going to...
His whole life is ruined.
I mean, it's one thing if he's the one... I still think it's wrong, but if he had been accused of doing a crime, it's one thing for someone to wrap their mind around the cops not paying him back for his stuff that got destroyed in the process of them trying to get him, but for the fact that he was a completely innocent third party and this criminal, or possible criminal, alleged criminal, took shelter in his print shop, and his stuff got ruined, and to think the cops just don't owe him money.
Right, and the guy wasn't even there. He had already escaped, long gone. It was like hours-long standoff of a guy that wasn't even there. I've seen this. Terrible. I've seen these standoffs with no one there before. It's ridiculous.
That's
hilarious.
And it's like, that's not even necessary. Like, just go in, you know?
Officer safety.
Who cares?
Officer safety. Hey,
just look for him.
No, what they're going to do, they're going to bring out the whole department, bring the negotiators and the tactical teams, and justify who they are, and make a big scene, shut down all the businesses in the area, because now everyone's like just watching, because that's what they do. You know, it's just a joke. They try to make it look like we need them. We don't.
Yep. They want you to believe that you need them. And they also want to work with the feds to take money from you. This says... So, yeah, we explained how they work together. It says, the Institute for Justice, a libertarian-leaning public interest law firm, notes that even though police in North Carolina don't make money off of state-level forfeiture, law enforcement agencies across the state collected an estimated $293 million in forfeiture revenue from federal programs between 2000 and 2019.
Crazy. Easy money.
Yep. Quote, am I at peace with it? MHPD, the Mint Hill Police Department attorney, Scott McClatchy, responded when asked by WCNC Charlotte about the outcome of the case. I am at peace that we followed the law.
Oh, my God, you sicko.
Yeah.
You're at peace that you followed the law?
Wow. That's just
I'm at peace that I stole money from this rape victim.
Right.
Disgusting. And like, this is why it's like you can't reason with these people.
Right.
He has absolutely no remorse for what he played a part in.
He has no moral.
And then they're just like, oh, well, the law. The law. How do we get these laws? You know what I mean?
Well, the law is actually very specific that you're not supposed to do this.
I mean, you would think so.
Yeah.
But apparently
this
somehow
they... This is a Fourth Amendment violation all the way.
Yeah.
And I think they've written extra clauses into the Fourth Amendment protecting specifically this of seizures and stuff. So, you know, you have to commit a crime. You have to commit a crime.
It's crazy to me because I don't get how they rationalize this. You know, like how dense and stupid do you have to be to just like everything in your life is just the law. Like, oh, I'm not going to use any of my own morals or reason here. I'm not going to be a good person or even try to make a difference or, you know, do anything positive for the world. I'm just going to blindly follow the law.
It's selfishness. And that's the thing. I had this thought process going for the entire day after I went and visited Ian. Was that yesterday? I went and visited Ian yesterday, and I could talk about that. But I just... was thinking, you have to be someone who just doesn't have... You have to be the most selfish type of person to be a cop and have no care for other people because of the idea... Just the idea that, like, it's because of the experience I had. The cop was being extremely unhelpful, and I couldn't find Ian for a while. But it's just, like, you have to be so selfish to be in this game where it's all about what you can gain in your life at the expense of everybody else in your community.
I don't even necessarily think it's that. I think these people are genuinely stupid. I think they are trying to help people.
They work in
this
a system.
This guy's an attorney, though.
Regardless of the civil asset forfeiture, think about how they exist in the first place. I mean, it's kind of like civil asset forfeiture. Taxes, and they don't get that voluntarily, so their mindset is already like, oh yeah, we've justified our job because, you know, the city said so from stealing it from everyone. Yeah, let's go kick some butt.
That's all that law really is. It's a you know, you have the scapegoat. It's the government wrote these. Now I can feel fine with doing immoral things because they don't believe there's things that are inherently immoral, like stealing from someone couldn't be inherently immoral to them. It's just if somebody wrote it down, oh well, I'm following the law. I'm doing what I was told to do by this other guy.
Yeah. And they always push the buck for sure. You know.
And This guy, McClatchy, says, McClatchy is correct that the department was perfectly within its rights to seize the money and hand it over to the feds. And
yeah, says who, though?
I was going to say, that's what this article says, but I think Joa is right.
Yeah, absolutely.
They pick and choose what laws they're going
to
follow.
Yeah, like, let's take this to the Supreme Court and see what the Supreme Court has to say about it.
That doesn't even matter. You know what?
I mean, obviously, I know, talking about using the system and it being illegal.
I get it. I just don't trust any of these people.
I feel, the Supreme Court. I don't know. How many civil asset forfeiture laws have they even, reviewed recently?
I have no clue.
I'd be interested to see what they say about it. But
here's the thing, though. The Supreme Court justices, the judges there, they're so rich. When they hear things like, $69,000 seized in civil office of forfeiture, they're like, that's nothing. That's not a big deal. Like, just get a job or something. You know, that's their mindset, because they don't have any concept of poverty or the understanding of, like, you know, I don't know. I think it's just absolutely ridiculous.
That's such a good point. One thing about, like, politicians and us is they're usually a lot richer than this girl who could use $69,000.
Right.
It says McClatchy is correct that the department was perfectly within its rights to seize the money and hand it over to the feds, and opponents of civil asset forfeiture say that's the problem. WCNC Charlotte's excellent reporting and the sheer injustice of the case have led to calls from Congress to pass federal legislation to stop cases like this from happening in the future. Honestly, I tend to agree with, I think you guys said at the beginning, that it's probably just, you know, politicians saying what they think people want to hear them say. Probably not going to get anything done. You'd like to think it's like a silver lining in this case, because lots of people are, you know, outraged and trying to call their congressman, and then their congressman is like, yeah, I'm calling to pass a law about this.
I'm not sure how this news broke, this story broke, but, like, typically, if you don't have, like, a community or anything like that, like, sort of backing you, these things kind of just fade away. That's right, what they're expecting with her,
exactly.
Maybe. Like, she didn't have any friends. She was isolated.
What is she going to do about it?
Like, she was isolated and being raped for who knows how long, so she doesn't have anyone trying to support her. You know, let's just
Most people are like that, and I think most people don't have the funds to take things to court, or, you know, if she's going to sue the police department or whoever, however this would be resolved. You know, I mean,
exactly. Take the money. She can't afford a lawyer to get it back.
It's really expensive to hire an attorney, and I don't even think, like, you know, okay, you can, like, a court-appointed attorney wouldn't even be relevant in this case because, they wouldn't be able to, because it's not really a defense. She would be, you know, the other side of it, so.
Right.
It says, as Reason's Jacob Sullum reported, Reps Tim Walberg from Michigan and Jamie Raskin from Maryland reintroduced the FAIR Act in March. The legislation includes several major reforms to civil asset forfeiture at the federal level, including eliminating the Equitable Sharing Fund. Quote, it will make me feel more resolved to get this legislation passed, unquote. Walberg told WCNC. At least the thought can come in people's minds. They changed their approach and they rushed it more quickly in order to get that $69,000. I guess that's the part we kind of missed. I'm not sure what they rushed in order to get their $69,000, the cops. It really ended up hurting the victim. And, you know, it's supposedly the opposite of what the cops are supposed to be doing. You know, they're supposed to be helping. The average person believes that cops are out there helping victims of crimes.
No. No way. They're getting overtime at parades.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally.
No, literally. I just got that on camera the other day.
Today or yesterday?
The firefighter parade on Monday. I was like, are you on overtime?
Oh, were they?
The cop was on overtime doing a parade.
Wow.
Like, yeah. Come on.
Or the construction. You know, when they direct traffic.
Oh.
Probably also overtime.
Well, that's technically detail.
Oh.
Detail. Well, so. No, this is different because the construction companies, which are probably working for some public utility and doing stuff for the city, so it's irrelevant. But the cops are hired by that company to do detail work.
The company that's getting paid by the state, you mean?
Yeah. That's my point. But the company hires, I don't know why they have to hire cops.
And that's kind
of,
that's weird. So I didn't know that's how it went. I didn't know they went through the company that's doing it, like the contractors that are working for the state. That's strange that they're the ones that pay the cops. That doesn't make any sense. And Matt was even saying that in New York, they just have, like, girls do it. Like, just, like, random people, like,
well, we have,
you know what I mean?
In New Hampshire, we get the flag, the flaggers, where they say stop and go.
Sometimes.
For DOT.
Usually it's a cop, though.
Yeah, I'd rather see
or
just,
they
like,
need a cop.
Not a cop. I'd rather see not a cop. And
that's how I always feel.
It, no, it's funny, though. You can hire a cop to do detail work.
Really?
Yeah. It's something, so like, $150-something or something like that an hour. But you could literally hire a cop just to follow you around. Like a security guard.
Oh, my God.
It's probably really expensive.
It is.
$150 an hour,
Even like another, even a regular bodyguard's going to be expensive, but I would bet you a cop
Yeah, it's way more expensive.
That's pretty funny, though.
Yeah. I was thinking of like maybe hiring one while I do auditing. So that way he has to protect me. If something happens to me, he's always watching me. And
it,
like, I got assaulted.
I don't know if it would work out like that.
I don't really want to be that status, that's all. Hiring.
It'd be funny, though.
Well, one thing I wanted to say about this, case that we just talked about is what Joa had brought up, that if, you know, you have your own community, it makes things easier. It makes cases that you're going through easier to get attention, because cops just like to push things under the rug anyway. I really feel that that's something we're doing in New Hampshire. Like, I attend as many people's hearings as possible. Mark Sissy, Ian's lawyer, said that it does make a difference to have a lot of supporters in the room whenever you're even just getting sentenced. Like, you're already convicted and you're getting sentenced.
Well, and, you know, and especially, like, for Ian's case, or, you know, for a lot of cases, especially with the sentencing or even the trial, you know, the jury or the judge seeing a lot of people there to support somebody. I mean, if somebody was really, like, that much of a jerk or, like, a bad person, would they have, like, 100 people here supporting them?
Clapping.
You know, so, exactly, like, so I think it does really make a difference, especially with sentencing.
Another thing
I think
I,
the jury's coached, but that's just me. Like,
absolutely, I think they always are,
like,
though.
They'd be like, they probably said to him in the back, I'm not trying to say, like, they told him how to do the case, be like, ignore the crowd in the courtroom.
That's a good point. That's
right, because he's a cult leader, too, so,
I think this is another reason they want to take down Free Talk Live, is because we can talk about cases like this. We can bring more attention to it. 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. More coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. to your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.